o'clock. Kurt, are we ready?
Sure.
Okay, great.
All right, well, hello and welcome to the April 18th meeting of the Lawrence Douglas County Metropolitan Planning Organization Policy Board. My name is David Carter. I am the current chair and a member of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. Jessica or Cece, could you give us the rules of engagement for the meeting?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. We have a few housekeeping items. This is a hybrid meeting. It is being recorded and broadcast on the city's YouTube channel. Please remember to mute yourself during the meeting when you're not speaking. The chat function for this meeting has been disabled, and all chats will directly go to us as hosts, as staff. Unless you're participating during the meeting, please turn your video off. This allows the active meeting participants to be seen on screen. You'll be able to hear the meeting when you're participating. Please turn your video on. If you have any trouble, you can send us a chat. The city and MPO reserve the right to mute people or turn individual videos off to minimize distractions for the meeting, and I'll proceed to a roll call vote if that is okay. Carter?
Here.
Dever?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
Thank you. Smith?
Here.
And Thomas?
Here.
Okay. And I believe absent today are Little John and Reason.
Very good. Thank you. On to public comment. Do we have any members of the public who wish to comment either in the chamber there? Apparently not. Or online?
There's no one in person wishing to do so, and no one has indicated online by turning on their video or raising their hands that they would like to comment today.
All right, thanks very much. Then let's move on to approving the minutes of the February 15th meeting. I would accept a motion to approve.
I so moved.
Commissioner Thomas, do I have a second?
A second.
I'll second.
Thank you. I think that's Commissioner Dever. Jessica, do you call the roll, please?
Absolutely. Carter?
Yes.
Dever?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Smith?
Yeah.
Thomas?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Fantastic. That takes us to item D, D1, the Transportation Improvement Program Amendment 7.
Thank you, Commissioner Carter. Sharing my screen. My name is Cece Riley. I'm a transportation planner too with the MPO. This is the 7th amendment to the TIP. The TIP implements the Long Range Transportation Plan, T-2050. Generally, we amend the TIP quarterly, and this amendment is associated with KDOT, Lawrence Transit, and the City of Lawrence interest in changing or adding projects to the TIP. We put this document out for a 15-day public comment period from March 7th to March 22nd, and no public comments were received. There are 3 projects being amended in the proposed TIP before you today, and 1 new project, 2 from KDOT, 1 from Lawrence Transit, and 1 from the City of Lawrence. They're shown on the screen in front of you in summary. The new project proposed by KDOT is for the road reconstruction of K-33, a 2-lane roadway in Douglas County. The project is approved for preliminary engineering, and the funding shown reflects that in the TIP number 152. The amendment requested by KDOT is to revise the state funding to reflect actual costs in 2024 and move the right-of-way phase from 2023 to 2024. The amendment requested by City of Lawrence is associated with TIP number 520, and the changes proposed remove the 2023 funding line and alter the 2024 line to reflect actual cost expenses for 2024. And the amendment requested by Lawrence Transit is associated with TIP number 426, and the change of the fund source from microtransit pilot program from federal to state. This was a mischaracterization of funds in previous TIPs that now we're just correcting. Additional information on these projects can be found on the amendment summary in the TIP amendment agenda item, as well as the screen in front of you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Cece. Do any commissioners have any questions for Cece?
Oh, sir.
All right, I guess I'd just like a clarification. Do any of these actually represent changes in estimates of project costs, or are they basically just realignments by governing body or fiscal year?
primarily realignments. The new project for KDOT for that K-33 reconstruction is the sort of largest change to this TIP, but it is for those preliminary engineering phases, so it's not design, it's not into the big bucks yet.
Okay. Very good, thank you. Any other questions? If not, I would accept a motion to approve.
I'll approve.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Dever. Do I have a second?
Allison Smith, KDOT, so I'll second.
Thank you, Allison. Any further discussion? And Jessica, can I ask you to call the roll, please?
Yep. To make a quick clarifying point, there's no one in the room for a public comment, and we've not seen anyone on line raise their hand or otherwise turn on their video, so I believe there's no public comment on this item as well.
Thank you for the point of order, CC. Appreciate it. And with that, Jessica, would you mind calling the roll, please?
Yes. Carter?
Yes.
Dever?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Fantastic. That takes us to item D2, the regional pedestrian plan for Eudora, Baldwin City, and Lecompton.
Thank you. We're bringing before you today the other part of our pedestrian planning work from the region, which has been a long time coming and got delayed by Transportation 2050, work that needed to happen in the interim to meet federal requirements. So we are hoping to finish up this plan and this planning process to assist Eudora, Baldwin City, and Lecompton in implementing walkability throughout their communities. This plan is an update to the 2016 regional pedestrian plan. It is when we updated the pedestrian plan for Lawrence, we separated it out from the region of these other communities, just due to some different work that needed to be done and some different trajectories in terms of scope of work. The plan is structured that each community has a chapter that's kind of serves as a standalone component that they can use in their communities to assess walkability and include public engagement process and development of best practices and existing conditions. So the vision is similar to the rest of the region, but really focuses on these different areas of which we believe there is benefit of improved walkability throughout our region. For each of the communities in their chapter, we profile the quantity and of existing infrastructure that's part of the pedestrian networks and their transportation networks. We developed inventories for those places that were updated based on the 2016 GIS data sets, which first in many places that is the data set they have for their region is the one that we have updated and maintained as part of this planning process. So what you see is kind of existing and missing sidewalk. There, each community has some pending elements that are underway during this planning process but weren't necessarily complete. And then for each community, we really honed in on a priority network. And that's the network where if we're talking about fundamental connections to schools and destinations across barriers like Highway 10 in this example for Eudora, that we have encouraged, and you'll see later kind of in the recommendations, where we encourage those communities to implement projects to fill gaps as part of the resources of expenditures in their places. So here's for Eudora. You can see likewise for Baldwin City and for Lecompton. And then we've accompanied in some design guidelines from the Small and Rural Towns Design Guidelines Center, additional options for crossing improvements and other segment improvements that are options for shared street environments that could improve walkability and safety that wouldn't necessarily require curb and gutter and sidewalk or ADA ramps in some of those locations. When we talked in each community, we show our public engagement in our public engagement appendices, and we recognize that each community has a little bit of difference in terms of, I'm just showing two of the questions we asked for each community, which is about, do you support the priority network? And we saw pretty broad support of what we were trying to prioritize for built environment and investment, but then also some different challenges with about busy streets or gaps or sidewalk repair. And so both maintenance and accessibility, but also gap infill are some of the concerns that across our region exist in terms of walkability. So we did that work. Then, let's see. We had... Yes. Oops. I did not mean to do that. We had a formal public comment period and received two comments from Baldwin's, one from Baldwin City and one from Lecompton during the process, the results of which we just acknowledged that we received those, but we made no additional changes to the plan as it had been developed in the recommended strategies. We had... With this planning process, we worked with stakeholders in the communities and representatives of the technical advisory committee to develop the different review of the existing conditions and this priority networks and strategies through this public process. And we feel really confidently about the work that we have done and the benefit it will provide to our region, noting that from 2016 plan that all communities, Eudora, Baldwin City, and Lecompton have taken the opportunity to work through state grant processes and other local funding processes to implement gap elements in their pedestrian network. And so this planning process and ones like these continue to serve a valuable role in our region. So I'd be happy to entertain any discussion or questions or discussion you want to have about the document before you today.
Thank you, Jessica, and thanks to the staff. A really impressive document, really thought-provoking. I have a few questions, but I would be happy to yield the floor to any other committee members who might want to pose some questions. Or, forgive me, as a point of order, is this when we ask for public comment?
Questions first, then comment.
Okay, then very good. Thank you. Anyone?
No, sir.
Okay, I guess my first question has to do with sort of what's next. How does this document fit into the overall, the development process for each community? Is it uniform or does it depend on the priorities of the community?
Well, many of the priorities, there's some nuance to some of the recommendations, but in general, these plans serve as overarching guides for these communities when they update other documents that they have internal to their own communities. So things like their land development code or comprehensive plans. Oftentimes, we're working in sync with their staff to ensure that we can coordinate with maybe their parks and recreation plan, for example. So we're not saying contradictory things in terms of access to parks or other destinations in the community. All of the communities have used this approved plan to seek transportation or safe routes to school funding for sidewalk gap infill projects since the 2016 plan. And so they use them primarily in that way. This plan does have other recommendations around thinking about design standards and other policies in their community in terms of sidewalk requirements on both sides or street trees or complete streets policy. Talks a little bit about residential speed limit and recommends some other improvements around, possibly the need to do ADA transition planning for the public right away once you acquire over 50 staff. So this really can be a resource guide to staff in those places and consultants and or the MPO for continuing to do additional work in this space. We haven't always had a lot of additional capacity for that type of local implementation, but we would offer assistance as such based on those those plans if there was relevant opportunity to do so. Unfortunately, you know, I think from our TAC partners' perspective from each of these communities, I would feel comfortable saying I think they rely on this type of planning work to move these issues forward in their community since they don't have dedicated staffing. And so it makes opportunities like approaching federal funds from transportation alternatives or the Safe Routes to School program or even the more recent Eudora RAISE grant that was awarded included elements of pedestrian connectivity that would have been in the previous pedestrian plan, and they would have used that. So we rolled this up into the regional long-range transportation plan, which is currently Transportation 2050. And when we update those, ideally we've updated each of the mode plans in the intervening years. And so that's kind of how it gets used in the region and at the city, but there is a lot of local context, and it really does require local engagement around implementation.
Great. That's really helpful. My second question has to do with the public responses. It's great to see that, by and large, the report was really broadly accepted. I did notice a couple of cases where someone opposed or strongly opposed the priority network that was laid out. What was the? Do you have any characterization of what was behind that? Did people comment on those?
Unfortunately, I can't speak in that detail at this point in time. That's been off the top of my head. I'd have to dive back into that if you're interested in seeing in my assessment of that more further. Unfortunately, that happened in the original 2021 and 22 process, so I'm not going to be able to recall that off the top of my head. We did at that point in time in some of the networks. Well, I can't even remember. I know we made adjustments to one. Oftentimes, people have very specific segments they're looking for. And if it's not what they're looking for, there's also just general opposition to sidewalks in some cases. That has been the case in terms of about whether or not people considered the best use of resources for our community. And so those are all kind of things that we have to evaluate. But I'd have to dive more into that to answer that.
Sure. Sure. Don't mean to put you on the spot. That's very helpful, though. Any other questions from committee members? Commissioner Kelly, I see you turned on your camera. Did you have any questions?
Maybe one quick one. Jessica, noted in the plan, it says TBA ongoing to the city of Baldwin and the city of LeCompte. Have you scheduled dates for that yet?
We have not. We won't. Generally, we have to work with each community, and they take different roles in deciding whether or not they're going to adopt it or whether or not they're going to just accept this plan. They have all in, and that is at their kind of local discretion. We, of course, encourage them to adopt it as saying it's their plan, but with the MPO adoption, it becomes the regional plan. And so sometimes they have just accepted the plan and move forward in that way. We have not scheduled those. We generally wait until after doing this to work with each of those communities to schedule those opportunities to come present in more detail the findings and results and implementations to their community, and we'll work with their staff to decide how that's best appropriate with their councils or commissions.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner Kelly. Any other questions? I guess before calling for a motion, my last question would be, what's next? Assuming this is approved, does this move on to any other governing bodies?
Yeah, so since it applies to each of the cities, Eudora, Baldwin City, and LeCompte, we'll work with those staff to get it in front of their councils with either adoption resolutions or acceptance memos and possibly a presentation, not all of them ask for a presentation. It really varies, and we try to work under the best intents of this. Once we get to an MPO approval, we're not in a big hurry to do that. We can kind of do that as time permits and allows in their work schedules on the calendar. So we would probably try to commit to doing that before the end of the summer to make what we call the road trip, right, to all of the different governing bodies to either get their acceptance or approval.
Super. Okay, thank you. Well, if there are no other questions or comments, oh, let's see, I guess this is when we solicit public comments or questions, correct?
And we do not have anyone in the room, and no one has turned on their camera or raised their hand online, so I do not believe there's any public comment on this item.
Okay. Well, again, a fabulous piece of work by staff, so thanks for presenting that. And I would entertain a motion to approve the regional pedestrian plan for Eudora, Baldwin City, and Lecompton.
This is Commissioner Kelly, motion to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Mike.
I'll second the motion.
Fantastic. Thank you. Any further discussion? All right, Jessica, can I ask you to call the roll, please?
Kartar?
Yes.
Okay, Dever?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Smith?
Griffin.
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Excellent. Thank you so much. That takes us to Section E for quick updates.
Yes, thank you. We wanted to put on to draw your attention to a future conversation that is upcoming. The Kansas Department of Transportation has a transportation emissions reduction program that is implementing the federal carbon reduction program. They are working with the smaller MPOs in the state, of which the Lawrence Douglas County MPO qualifies, to host a call for projects for the annual carbon reduction funding that is a formula fund to our region. It's about a $250,000 a year, and we will be back to have a conversation with you after we discuss with TAC next month what that process is going to look like and what criteria we're going to have. This body will be taking the recommendations likely of the TAC to work to award that funding in the region. We have about 4 years of funding to award, so we have just over $1 million. That's 80-20 funding, and there will be more detail. It follows the guidelines of the Carbon Reduction Program, which is looking at projects and implementation that reduces emissions. And so often that's bike ped projects, traffic signal ITS projects. It could be EV charging that cities and in governments and eligible entities in our region would be able to apply for that funding and show how it will be able to achieve some of those goals that do under the carbon reduction program, but also under Transportation 2050. And so we just want to call your attention to that. That's the first time our MPO is going to have the opportunity to select projects for funding under this federal funding source. And so, Allison, do you have anything to add? Otherwise, I just wanted to get people aware of that.
No, that's a very good summary. Kate, I'll be working hand in hand with MPO staff to unroll this. And we've got all kinds of templates and that sort of thing. I don't, Jessica, if we're meeting tomorrow or not, I don't remember, but certainly we'll have a presentation to project sponsors. And yeah, and I'm the Kansas Carbon Reduction Program Manager. So if you need any specific information, feel free to reach out to me.
All right, thank you so much. Very, very good to know, and we look forward to learning more. That takes us to item F, other business. Jessica or anyone else, anything we ought to be knowing?
I have nothing today.
Don't meet.
All right, thanks. That takes us then to our next meeting, currently scheduled for May 16th, 2003. Is that should that stay on our calendars?
I believe it should.
2024.
Oh, well, we got the year wrong.
Did I say? I think I did that last meeting too. People stand stuck in the past. Anyway,
time travel.
So, as a point of order, do we need a motion to adjourn, or do we just thank everybody for attending and say goodbye?
We say goodbye. We have completed our business today.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate your time.
David.
Thank you. Bye bye.
That's funny.